population, traffic, and everything else. So this, I think, positions the tollway well for the future. And I would just add one, or ask a question. We have a strategic advisory group, if you will. In the past, we've reached out to the trucking industry as an external partner to have quite a bit of dialogue with. Perhaps as we look to continue to refine this, we would look where maybe it falls into that particular, maybe it's a subgroup of that. As different things come up, you're going to have different selected areas, perhaps, that you need to have specific discussion with, and you might want to incorporate something along those
lines.
That's
a great point.
You can put a bullet point in, like receive an annual report from the Strategic Advisory Committee, the trucking industry, or whatever, our partners, or even like all of our partners.
Right. I think that we were anticipating that that might fall within the customer service portion, but to clearly articulate that that is a core customer group for us.
So we don't forget.
We're working with Business Systems and under Shauna's leadership to, you know, also think about, you know, the organization there and how we're dealing with trucks and fleet management and, you know, some very important customers for us and important partners for us. So it's a very good point.
And I would make two additional points. First, I thought you were going a different direction, which I think is a good idea, which would be to make sure that our strategic advisory group, that Christy pulled together, actually sees a copy of this, because much of what's in here reflects the kind of priorities that they had articulated were important for the tollway to do. And then second, just thank everybody for their patience and participation in this and for keeping me from not being as impatient as I typically am. I think we've worked at a very thoughtful pace.
I think it's important to note, especially for the staff, that also underlying this concept is a return to what Director Roth just said, that these committees will likely meet on a day other than the board meeting so that they can have a several hour period in order to present details. I think that's what we found has been very beneficial with the work Tom's done and I've done with our committees. And so, you know, there might be, you know, the Finance Administration Operations may always meet at 8 or 8:30 the day before a board meeting to catch up stuff. But in reality, most of the other committees would meet at least once or once a month or every other month away from the board meeting so that both the public and the key staff would have a chance to interact with the board members. And that, even though it's a bigger investment of time, I think it makes our decision-making a lot better as a group.
And I think we did talk about that last month. That was part of the feedback.
I think that's the important part, because as you look at the projects that are part of that list and the hope of working with transit and the like, that's going to be real important, and you can't do it in one day.
And Director Morris has continued to say we need to figure out how to reconfigure the room, so the geniuses who can crack that nut, let us know.
I've got it all worked out.
Okay, you've got it all worked out. So Christy is going to take up the information from the rest of our meeting roster.
This is a list that I think everybody has probably seen before many times, and that is the potential you know, future projects missing, frankly, from this map, but we should consider with that Jane Addams Memorial Tollway improvement is just our existing system needs, which we talked about in December, certainly, that we would project out over the next 10 years. And I think we did some good work last week in, again, talking through these projects, talking about the economic impact of the different projects, but also I think the consensus was, as we've discussed in previous board meetings, frankly, that our existing system needs need to be our top priority. But I think that there was a clear, you know, indication or thought from the board members present last week that there are some projects of regional significance here that may be important for the tollway to take on and take a leadership role on going forward. So one discussion that we had that I think is good, if we move to the next slide, is you know, how we move forward in these next couple of months. There's some important stakeholder groups. Many of them have attended board meetings on particular or specific projects, but haven't necessarily had an opportunity, although we felt, for instance, that our discussion on our current financial situation and projections and some of the strategic discussions that we were having at the December board meeting or other times about, you know, our current, you know, operating budgets and financial situations, the economy, et cetera, and how that has impacted us. Although we, of course, had very public discussions about that, making sure to go out and talk to some important stakeholder groups for us and make sure they understand that, as well as talking about not these projects specific and independent, but a discussion of, you know, the tollway's existing system needs, including the Jane Addams, as well as some of these important regional projects as a total, or as a total proposal or list of potential items, and getting feedback on, again, not specific project by project, but really thinking strategically about the big picture and helping them see what the big picture is for us, but also getting some feedback on how they would see the big picture of kind of future project or system needs. We've tried to characterize here some of the general categories or specific groups of stakeholders that we would see as important for us to visit. And I say us because not only will hopefully I be participating in some of these meetings and briefings, but other people within executive leadership at the tollway, and certainly we would hope that the directors, where it's appropriate and a possibility, would be able to attend and participate as well, because we think that this is a very important effort over the next couple of months for us to do this type of outreach. You see the list up here, so, you know, Council of Government, or the COGS, the mayors and managers, regional chambers of commerce, different planning organizations, environmental groups, economic development groups, transportation organizations. We talked about and have done a lot of discussing about, you know, the links between the tollway as a system and not only other interstate systems or highway systems controlled by the Department of Transportation, but also transit, and, you know, how we need to be a partner in creating a regional transportation system. So we have other down there at the bottom of the list, because I very much wanted to get a sense from all of you whether specific groups or categories that you feel, you know, may not be represented here that will be important for us. Again, we're trying to, you know, develop something that is manageable within the next couple of months, mm-hmm. period of time, but is, you know, touching on many of these groups who have been such important partners to us in the past, and we believe will be important for us going forward.
Yeah. One group that I would just ask that we add, and that would be, it's a limited number, but I think, I can't remember if we're in 13 counties or whatever, but I think we should at least maybe convene two meetings of the county chair,
okay.
The county board chairs in the counties, and maybe, you know, one of them, maybe three of them, you do one here with four or five counties, and then one in the Rockford area, maybe one in the Quad Cities area, because a lot of times, like we learned, at least in the Route 53 idea, it's the county board that is the driving force behind that. And I think in Winnebago, the county board has been a driving force.
No, that's an excellent point. We did cover, you know, kind of more the local government side, but you're right, the county level government.
Yeah, in fact, Shilbertville is here on the...
Yes,
yeah.
And then new chair being Dan Cronin, of course. But you're right, absolutely, that's a good one.
Your regional chambers probably should be pushed out to the state chamber.
Yes.
Just because they have a big transportation committee.
Right, regional and state chamber, very good.
And they actually just issued a report a couple of months ago that talked about the role of the tollway in economic development. Right. That's the state chamber, so that's a good suggestion.
Now, other groups? Mm-hmm. And we've captured a lot of broad categories here, so.
One of the things that we'll be talking about, obviously, is the cost of this, so we also should think, are there any financial groups that we don't have to come up with now, but if you have ideas about...
Well, I think we just need to refine what these kind of projects cost and be very clear, because everyone that testified here in favor of every one of these projects would not have to vote in order to pay for those projects. And I think, you know, these were in the billions, some of them, not in the hundreds of the millions. And I think people need to understand that especially newer additions to the system have an extreme cost, and that's where things like congestion pricing that come in. But even with that, people need to know what it's going to cost them to have these extensions, because it sounds like a great idea, until somebody has to write the check.
So we'll be working on a presentation, and I don't know that we need a work group, but informally, we will be asking the directors to respond and edit and help us think through how to do this presentation so that it's clear.
A lot of information.
It is a lot of information.
We will be probably basing some, you know, portions of it on the presentation that we gave to the board several months ago that walked through, you know, our existing system needs and the costs, and then, of course, the projects that are potentially on the horizon and what those costs would be. But there certainly will be other elements of it, so we'll be reaching out to each of you to help refine that. And then, of course, we'll also be reaching out to all of you as we begin to, you know, identify either existing meetings or convening meetings, and, you know, hopefully we can get some attendance from some of our directors in some of those.
And then I think as a courtesy, since they're kind of our partners, possibly you and the chair could maybe after the legislative session, or maybe even during the legislative session, maybe hold 3 or 4 cluster meetings with our state legislators, and you know, maybe 8 or 10 of them, at least invite them to have that briefing, at least as it impacts their region and that, because I think even though they don't directly vote on it, you know, they need to know what's going on,
course,
because
right.
Some of them testified here, I recall.
We'll keep them informed. Mm-hmm. That's a good elected officials, right?
And I think the point about the local contribution policy is a very important one, because that didn't exist until 355 was built, and it was there were some knockdown dragouts as that was being negotiated. So,
well, we just did a good thing where with Rosemont is stepping up on.
Sure.
So I mean, it goes all the way from an interchange to the philosophy of whether or not you're building a new extension to a tollway, which is going to have a tremendous economic impact. Whether or not we benefit, we being the tollway users, instead of them paying all of the costs, that the economic benefit of those adjacent to pay it, like I think you talked.
Well, the Elgin O'Hare, right, on the Elgin O'Hare Advisory Council that the governor's convened, one of the concepts that's come out of that work or starting to emerge is this idea of using a tool that is being used in other parts of the country and the world to pay for big infrastructure projects, which is value capture, for
yes.
instance, which does, you know, leverage some of that
for
additional
sort
of, or special service areas, something along those lines. So
and that's been used in local government. I know we use special service areas, I think, you know, like when the regional shopping center gets built and that, you have the recapture. So that it's not a new concept, and it's a concept that, because these bricks and mortar cost so much, we're going to need ways to help recapture the cost.
So just quickly, the last slide is just, I think we've talked about all of this, just everybody understands that this is what the next step is and the next steps are. Is there anything you think we need to change or add? I just had 2 more quick things under my report. First is to, once again, remind you that the Earth Day meeting is the 19th of April and the invitation letters will be going out. I hope today or tomorrow. If there are people you want to add to the list of invitees, please let Trinise know. And then, secondly, I just want to draw your attention to our annual report, which I had nothing to do with, but I think it's a superb document, and congratulations to Christy, Wendy, Doug, Quinn team that put it together, and particularly the pictures of Christy and me, which are
not bad.
It's got a lot of good information in it. The graphics are terrific.
Need to increase our airbrushing.
Yeah, it's
really good. Where are these pictures?
Not for the chair.
No, I'm
worried.
Okay, Christy.
All right, thank you. We have one presentation under my section. I think that several months ago we talked about you know, our effort here within the management of the tollway to really try to think creatively about you know, what revenue is available to us and how we're capturing revenue. You've heard presentations on, you know, how through permitting or through these tower co-location agreements or other places where we're able to leverage, you know, revenue that doesn't come directly from our you know, customers driving on our roads. We've been doing a lot of work on, you know, are there, you know, innovative or creative ways for us to think about, you know, collecting additional revenue or leveraging our assets to collect revenue. Diana Stewart is going to walk us through a presentation now on what I think is one of the exciting ideas that has emerged from that work. And I actually like to not only thank Diane in communications and some of the leadership here for leading this effort, but we actually reached out to our senior staff through the quarterly meeting and asked and solicited their feedback as well. And we have the idea of, you know, a sponsorship programs or that type of advertising might be a good way for us to leverage some non-toll revenue and generate some non-toll revenue. So we've really looked across the country, and something that seems to have worked effectively in other states is the sponsorship of the equivalent of their help truck programs. And we think that this might be an effective way for us, again, to underwrite that important service for our customers, but also, you know, create its own stream of revenue so that we can continue to support that activity on our tollway. Every little bit helps, as they say. So we've cut costs, and we'd like to see if we can find innovative ways to increase our revenues as well. So, Diana, thank you for your work, and take it away.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, everybody. Mike spoke to us earlier. There we go. About the economy that we're currently facing, and government agencies are trying to balance their budgets, as Christy mentioned, not only reducing their expenditures, but looking for ways to build revenue. The industry as a whole is really out there, and they have been out there for a couple of years now, looking at non-traditional ways to grow revenues. And the advertising industry has also been out there looking for non-traditional ways for them to take their corporations and increase touch points to the customer. One of the things that we looked at recently was the IBTTA, which you all know is the International Bridges, Tunnel, and Turnpike Authority. They have reached out to their member agencies and polled them about what are some of the challenges that they are currently facing, what are some of the opportunities that they are finding in the industry with regards to non-traditional revenue. And what we found is that actually 41% of the agencies that participated in their recent poll have indicated that they are going to be looking for some non-traditional sources. So we're in the path with everybody else right now. So what we want to do here is really identify where are there revenue sources that we can secure here for the tollway. And so one of the ways that we started this hunt is by looking at what others are doing and identifying not only what other agencies here in the Chicagoland and Illinois area are doing, but what are other tolling agencies and Department of Transportation agencies doing around the nation as a whole. Then, as Christy mentioned, we have developed a pool of ideas, and we continue to look for new and innovative ideas from all different departments here at the agency. And most importantly, we want to make sure that no matter what we do going forward, we really want to continue to keep a safe environment out there for our customers and for the motorists. So let's take a look at what's currently out there in the marketplace. Way too far. Okay. The city of Chicago in, I believe it was July of last year, went forward with putting out a sponsorship for their bridge houses. They have established a relationship with a firm called Fresh Picked Media, and the president of that particular company anticipates $10 million annually. Now, they have not currently procured that or secured those dollars, but that's what they think is a possibility in the city of Chicago. Metra is actually on the market now with an RFP to secure title sponsorships for some of their train lines, for some of their rail station stops. We know that CTA has got an RFP out, and they are also looking for sponsorships of particular rail lines. I think everyone here is familiar with what happened with Apple. Provided something like $3.8 million to the CTA for the right to name the stop that's there on North and Clybourne. So it's happening here in the Chicagoland area. As it relates to help trucks and safety patrols, there are currently seven other Turnpike and Department of Transportation agencies that have a safety patrol sponsorship program. I'll get into the details of that in a little bit. We've also found that there's other states that are doing marketing programs selling their toll booth windows for advertisers. They have signs on their gates. Again, with a closed system, there's some different opportunities than there are here with open road tolling. But there are a lot of different marketing activities that are happening out there. So let's take a look at some in particular. The Georgia Department of Transportation has a highway emergency response program, which is garnering $1.7 million annually. Again, these are gross figures that all of these agencies are securing. Florida Turnpike not only does a Road Ranger safety patrol program, but they also have a blue board sign program. They have a toll booth window program, and they have a sponsor the highway program, and they're bringing in just under $2 million annually.
May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Local blue boards, so we had approved doing something like that last month. The difference here is that people pay to get
people pay.
Well, people pay to get on ours, right, too. If there's a business logo on a blue board on our system, we just, because we are in more of an urban area, and the congestion and signage opportunities for additional blue boards on our system, there aren't just a lot of opportunities to put additional blue boards on our system. But
right,
if you see a blue board, the policy is, and that we discussed last month, is that a logo from a business, needs to be sponsored.
So a specific name of a hotel as opposed to just something that says hotels.
Hotel.
Right.
Correct.
We got to be careful in not making it too visually distracting.
Right.
Absolutely. But, absolutely.
As it is, we kind of have those great message boards that I think are really effective that are now working real well on the tollway to give people directions, tell you what's coming up. I would hate to get people where they're starting to look right and left and running into each other. Now, Captain, you might, that'd be good for you guys to get some more business.
I think
we have to be really careful of that.
I agree. We want to prioritize safety, and certainly, John Benda and the traffic group maintenance group have been very involved in a lot of these discussions, and we wouldn't want to do anything that would in any way compromise safety, but these are examples from other systems that we thought you should know about.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you. As you can see, the sponsorships garner anywhere from $400,000 to approximately $2 million a year. So we know that there's an opportunity to secure some additional funds. So the first thing that we're moving forward with is our Help Truck program. And the RFP is due to post this month. What we're hoping to do is to recapture some of the costs. As you can see, our program costs approximately $2 million annually. So what we did in putting together this RFP is we identified assets that are available with this program that a sponsor could come in and they could have presence on our trucks. They could have presence on the employees' uniforms. When a truck pulls over and assists a motorist, they always have a response card that they hand. That response card would be sponsored by a potential vendor who would then have their logo on that. So there's a lot of touch points here, from the truck to the uniform to pieces of material that are handed out. We have website presence. There's a variety of ways that we see that the sponsor could touch the customer. One of the things I'd like to note here is that some of the agencies that currently have these safety patrol sponsorship programs, their trucks are only on the road in morning drive hours, which is approximately from 6 to 9 a.m., and then later in the evening drive hours from 4 to 6. Our trucks are actually on the road from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m., so we've got a longer amount of time on the road, and therefore we have more exposure to customers and eyeballs.
This is kind of off the top, but do we charge for this service?
No, we do not.
It's a free service for our customers, although to the extent that, for instance, someone runs out of gas and there's fuel that's delivered, we do try to reimburse that or get that.
But it's like I have a AAA and I stall, my AAA will generally cover some of that. Shouldn't we be billing? I don't know.
If they're in the roadway, though, it helps us to get them off the roadway, so it does help.
Well,
strategic policy question that will go to one of our new committees.
Why don't we, instead of calling the Oasis, it's the Displains Oasis and the O'Hare Oasis, why don't you go to advertisers and have them call the such and such Oasis, the such and such. You got a zillion cars running under there. Yeah. Not zillion, a million. Cars running under there every day.
I agree.
They call it Cub Stadium, so I'm White Sox.
So all good ideas.
Transponders.
We've looked at the transponders. That's one thing that we have.
Except we don't see them.
But people,
yeah. Yeah, I think we again want to balance, people's right not to. We don't want to inundate our customers with, every logo and every advertisement. At the same time, I think that we owe it to them to see if there are ways for us to generate some revenue that doesn't.
The Cubs have that fake thing behind the batter that changes after every third pitch or something, but it's just a brick wall that. You're watching on TV, it's running an ad.
But it's just faithful.
So these are some good additional ideas. But wanted to make you aware of this one since we were going to try to pursue it potentially sooner rather than later. So this
do
is
we
just
have guidelines to make sure it's tasteful?
Yeah,
absolutely. With anything that we put out, in looking for sponsors, one of the caveats that we put into the RFP is that the tollway has the right to use an offer if we deem that sponsor as not being related, relevant, or appropriate.
Can we just out front say no liquor advertising? That's really contrary to the drunk driving concept.
Well, liquor into, there's certainly.
There's certainly a number without getting into.
Well, but why not? I see dwarves or whatever they call them sending them, and then we have to.
Right.
Why don't we just out front say no smoking and no liquor or something? I don't know.
We certainly won't be, just to be in all seriousness, we're certainly not going to be accepting. I know you are, and we are too, in that we're not going to be accepting liquor advertisements on our health trust.
Okay.
But I think, the one thing that we wanted to maintain also is the integrity of people knowing that it is a tollway help truck. So while some systems have, for instance, completely, wrapped their entire vehicle in a logo.
Some of the trains are not doing that yet.
Like the stock car.
We wanted to maintain, again, the integrity that this is a tollway vehicle, it's an official vehicle, so people have that consistency of knowing what it is, but that there's room for.
Well, for safety, too.
And for safety, exactly. But that there's room.
2 in the morning, you just assume not have NASCAR.
Yeah, you don't want them to be. Right. Telling you they're drafting when they're really killing
it. One of the things that we found is the other agencies that do have safety patrol sponsors, probably 80% of those are State Farm Insurance, and the other two companies that have not gone with State Farm, they went with another insurance company. And part of that is, again, having the appropriate sponsor, and those are the people that were actually responding to the RFP. This is just a picture of one of the things that we did in putting out this RFP is we supplied very, very clear, detailed pictures to show a sponsor where they might have an opportunity to have logos on a truck. We had uniforms mocked up, so again, we tried to make it as clear as possible.
So
moving beyond, though, the help truck sponsorship, what we wanted to do was look at actually working with a marketing or advertising broker to see what other opportunities there are. As Director Canham mentioned, is there an opportunity, is there a demand out there to start naming our plazas or to name a particular oasis? So one of the things we thought is we've got to look at how we can get the most bang for our buck. And one of the ways to do that is by using a broker, we have one single procurement. And rather than having an individual RFP for each of those elements, we have one RFP that goes after someone whose core competency is relationships with corporations, someone whose core competency is brokering these kind of deals. So what we want to do in putting together this RFP is to design it such that we are not paying the broker, but that we establish some kind of a revenue split or commission so that if the sponsor comes in and says, I'm willing to spend $100,000 on a given asset, that either that revenue is split and a percent goes to the broker and a percent goes to the tollway, or the sponsor directly pays the broker for their services. And that broker would be in charge of managing implementation, putting together the deal itself. So we really see this as being an advantageous way to move forward with securing some non-traditional revenues.
But again, we've singled out a specific RFP for help truck sponsorship. We've seen it in other parts of the country, and it does seem to be working effectively there. So this concept, which is still very much a concept,
it's in the concept, right?
Is, you know, is there an appetite to go the next step?
But the help truck, we're just doing that. We're our own broker on that.
Yes, we're our own broker on the help truck. And this would just be, you know, for broader or larger opportunities. And as you can see, there's some ideas here at the bottom, but certainly they wouldn't necessarily all be included, and they wouldn't necessarily, it's not necessarily an all-inclusive list. So,
I'll have Paul Fry and say, this construction is brought to you by...
this delay. this delay is brought to you by...
So, just to wrap this up, what we'll be doing again is posting the RFP here in March. Our idea is that then we would award the contract in April. We would come back to the board in May and present the contract to the board in May. And then ideally, if everyone is in agreement, we will then continue to move forward with an RFP in June for a broker. Are there any questions?
We've already stipulated a certain restrictions and that we're trying not to put too much out there so as to be distracting to drivers who tend to not see the speed limit signs.
who are texting.
I think it's also important to note that an individual running for a political office cannot buy a tag on a truck that's riding down the highway all the time. Okay? Because we do have a resolution that we passed about 2 years ago now, or 18 months ago, on names on signs and things of that sort, and I assume that's been looked at so that this does not conflict with that in any way.
We'll work with Diane. I mean, for example, in the Oasis leases, there are limits on what kinds of businesses, so we can extend the
same kind of
advertising, and we'll work with Diane and staff on that in the RFP and contracts.
And I'd like to renew my suggestion of a year ago that if there's going to be talk of an additional casino, possibly or two, we have space in the Oasis. We could put about 12 or 14 slots in each one, and that might take care of this couple million real quickly. If they want to bet it, let them come.
I think to wrap it up,
very good segue.
There's two key criteria, and number one is safety.
Right.
You've got to keep the road safe, and number two is appropriateness. If an advertiser comes forward and they are not deemed to be appropriate,
kick them out.
Right, we walk away.
But we already sell lottery tickets, so it's a great extension.
So we wanted to make you aware because we were going to be moving forward with the Help Trust program. Again, many states around the country have decided to do it. And, you know, there is a cost for us providing that service. We think it's an important service for our customers and for the safety of our roadways and, you know, moving people off to the extent that they're stalled or blocking traffic or even on the side of the road. You know, it's still a danger. So, but if we can have some revenue coming in as a result, that I don't think is going to have a negative impact on, you know, the safety and efficiency of our system. I think that can be a good thing. So we're trying to be creative, and you know, knowing again that we need to do a little bit more thinking around what the opportunities are, and just make sure that we have, you know, put the right safeguards in that we have, you know, and will have the right ability to control where any, you know, advertising opportunities exist or sponsorship opportunities exist. We'll you know, continue to move forward with this concept of maybe bringing on a broker, and we'll come back to the board and brief you as that develops going forward. But wanted to make you aware that we were taking these steps, which I think are important to, again, increase any revenue that we're seeing from non-toll sources, making sure we're maximizing every opportunity for revenue. So. I just have a couple of additional items. We had prepared state and federal regulations presentations that, you know, because of the timing issues on the last board meeting we didn't get to, we have just, you know, decided, unless there's an overwhelming feeling that we need to have, to go ahead and present those. If you certainly, if you have any questions about them or concerns, you know, that was, again, us going through, you know, changes in the federal regulations governing and overseeing credit card, you know, fees, for instance, which we think in the near term may have a positive benefit for us. But we know that the financial industry is ever innovative in its own desire to capture revenues.
It's sponsor credit card.
And we've talked also about, in that, some of the changes to the healthcare system and healthcare changes, which may have an impact on us going forward. So please let us know if you have any questions there. Just also a note that per Shauna's, I think, excellent presentation last month, we are moving forward on progress on the electronic tolling system. As you know, we've really done some, I think, very good analysis over the last year that tells us that we need to be very thoughtful as we move ahead with, you know, what is the next iteration of the next version of the tollways system that collects and tracks the tolls and the revenues that we collect from transponders and electronic tolling. I just wanted to offer this quick update that, you know, we think that there's an opportunity. As you remember, one of the procurements that we needed, one of the vendors we needed to get is in place or have on task with us on this, was to create and help us with an RFP. And then, of course, that vendor is then prohibited from bidding on any portion of the contract going forward. We're analyzing now and in the process to see if we can, within one of our existing vendor contracts, if we can task this item to an existing contract to help us develop that RFP for this new system. So we're working on that. We also wanted to let you know that we have also been exploring, again, hoping to get some feedback, some additional feedback from our customers and people who actually have to use our system. So you remember we did that electronic email survey last year. We would like to move forward with some more specific focus group discussions from customers, including customers from, you know, the trucking industry, for instance. So some very specific focus groups from customers who use our system to get a sense of what their you know, feedback is on their user experience and their ease of using the system or challenges that they have, so that can inform, again, the development of any new system that we decide to move forward with. So we're going to be looking for, you know, potential partners, potentially an academic partner to help us with that kind of focus group work that I think would be very helpful to, you know, informing future developments for our system. We talked a little bit about violation images online. We are still moving forward and hopefully we'll have those available by the end of the month, first quarter, as we originally committed to. We've done some system testing and just to make sure that we have the capacity necessary and it should run smoothly. Anytime you put something new online, you always want to try to test it, which Joe has done, I think, a very good job, you know, working with Shauna to test the data and the system. So we're on track, I think, to get that done by the end of the month. As you know, and from the considerable interest, the 7-Eleven transition at our fuel stations is ongoing. On Tuesday night, ExxonMobil began the transition to 7-Eleven, or 7-Eleven began the transition in. That does mean that for periods of time, and we're trying to do a good job of communicating with the public, that fuel will not necessarily be available at all tollway locations, but the pavilions are still open. So to the extent that people want to stop or need to stop, use the restrooms, food, those pavilions are always open. And I'm sure they're anxious to let everybody know that they're open for business right now, even though they're not always going to be fuel.
There's a sign posted 5 miles before one of them coming in today, which is good, before it is warning people about the gas.
Yes, and we have tried to put signage up on the system to warn people so that they have an opportunity to get off early and get fuel someplace else if they were counting on that location. So, but again, it's just part of, you know, part of that transition process. Other than that, I don't think, I'm just looking through my notes to make sure I captured everything. I think we're in pretty good shape. If there are not any questions, I think we can move on to the consent agenda with your agreement.
Any questions for Kristen? Thank
just
you.
When will the 7-Eleven conversion be completed?
I think we were targeting, was it Thursday? Is it today?
Today. Right tonight.
They said like 48 hours.
It should be by midnight tonight.
Started late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning?
Yes.
They moved pretty quickly, though, I think.
Yeah,
they were. One of them was reopened, I think, up in the
yeah, we've, you know, obviously we want to continue to communicate with our customers, but, you know, the transition was supposed to be fairly quick, and I know that's what they wanted as well, so.
Thank you for everyone on your help, both thinking through what vendor we wanted to use and also executing and implementing. Thank you. Can we then turn to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Information technology, we have one item there. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That's approved. Procurement, we can take, I think, 1 through 5.
Moved to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. That's approved. In engineering, we can take 1 through 4.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And then numbers 5 and 6, Director Rolfe is recusing himself, so may I hear a motion for those two?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Then we can take 7 through 9.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, and then legal, we have the settlement.
So moved.
Approved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Unfinished business, I think we usually ask if there's any further public comment, but I don't think there is. Any unfinished business? Any new business? Okay, we have probably another 20 minutes of...
A resumption of the executive session. Pursuant to 2C1 and 2C11 of the Open Meetings Act.
Okay.
So moved to move to executive session.
And second?
Second.
Okay, may I...